horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the ready-to-eat oat cereal that gives you go power, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger.
Listen, see if you can recognize the famous voice on this record.
I'm a happy mouse, and I ought to be. Oh, you let me in your house and watch me on TV.
Right, that's just a little bit of a record of Mickey Mouse singing Happy Mouse. To get this record for your very own, just look for the special Wheaties box with a record on the front. You see, it's not just a picture of a record you'll find there. It's an actual Walt Disney Mouseketeer record that's part of the Wheaties box. Just cut it out with scissors, punch out the center hole, and it's ready to be played on any 78 RPM manual control record player. Ready to be played again and again. There are 8 different Mouseketeer records you can get, all featuring famous Walt Disney characters. There's Donald Duck's song, Goofy singing It's Fun to Whistle, and many, many more. Just look for the special Wheaties Mouseketeer record package at your grocer's. The records won't cost you one penny extra with Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions.
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful mask rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, Big Fellow. I am Silver. Hooray!
Abigail Appleton had come from Boston to keep house for her brother Jonathan and his motherless daughter Jane. Jonathan Appleton was the town banker in Greyrock, and Abigail considered that this fact put her at the top of the social ladder in Greyrock, much to the amusement of most of the townspeople, who gave little or no thought to so-called social class distinction. In Abigail's opinion, the one person who was at the absolute bottom of her self-made social scale was Maud Jenkins, rough, gun-toting, but popular owner of the town cafe. Jane Appleton was walking toward her father's bank as Jerry Jenkins left his buckboard at the hitch rack and headed for the general store.
Jane, wait a minute.
Oh, hello there, Jerry. I wondered if you'd come to town today.
I came in for some supplies Mom was to order at the store. We've been busy at the ranch the last few days.
Oh, Jerry, my aunt had another run-in with your mother today. She came home furious a short time ago.
Uh-oh. It's too bad they ever have to meet. Mom means
oh,
well.
Oh, I know. In fact, like everyone else, I'm attracted to her because she's so weak. Aunt Abigail just doesn't realize how ridiculous her ideas are out here in this rough pioneer country.
Her ideas aren't any help to us either, Jane. She sure wouldn't like it if she knew we were meeting each other.
Yes, I know. She... Well, she has heard rumors and already spoke to me about it, Jerry.
Uh-huh. What did she say?
She said I was to keep away from you. I wouldn't promise, so Aunt Abigail said she was going to speak to Dad about it.
What do you think he'll say?
Well, he rather likes you, Jerry, but... Well, Aunt Abigail has him under her thumb so that he gives in on most everything.
By thunder, I don't care what either of them say. We're still...
No, Jerry, you just don't understand. Look, Dad is all I have, and whatever he says,
well,
I feel...
that's it. You'll agree with them that I'm not good enough for you. And you'll be willing to give me up.
Oh, no, wait, Jerry. I didn't
mean... forget it. I guess maybe you're filled with those loco society ideas like your aunt. I reckon our going together is a mistake after all. Bye, I'll be getting along.
Oh, Jerry, wait. Oh, what's the use?
Some distance north of Greyrock, the Lone Ranger and Tonto rode the valley trail that led to the town. As he carefully scanned the surrounding hills, the masked man was saying,
I don't like the looks of things, Tonto.
You think Comanche go on warpath, Kemosabe?
We've seen plenty of signs of unrest. There's another signal fire on that hill off to the left there.
Signal fire say Chief Eagle Feather want powwow. Him calling all tribes to village near North End Valley.
Eagle Feather knows the garrison at Fort Stockton, but just below Gray Rock is greatly weakened. Colonel Blair took most of the regiment to quell an Apache uprising near Pecos.
Oh, that right.
Keep our eyes open and be ready to warn the settlers.
Ah.
Later, we'll make camp. At dawn, we'll head back toward Chief Eagle Feather's village and try to find out what's going on. Montpelier!
North Pole.
That evening, Maud Jenkins left the Gray Rock Cafe and rode to the ranch she owned a short way from town. As she entered the ranch house, her son Jerry came from his room with a small bundle of clothing.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, Jerry. Why, what's the bundle for?
Oh, just a change of clothes. I figure I'm riding up to Pecos to work with Uncle Jed on his ranch for a while.
Well, what for? We have plenty for you to do right here on our own ranch.
Oh, I want to get away for a while, that's all.
Oh? Must have had a spat with a certain girl named Jane Appleton. Is that it?
Oh, it's not exactly a spat, Mom. That highfalutin aunt of hers told Jane she had to stop seeing me.
You mean Abby Appleton doesn't think my boy is good enough for her niece, huh? Why, that ornery, snooty-nosed female. I'll go back to town right now.
Oh, Mom, don't. There's no need to make things worse than they are.
Well, I get plenty riled when I think of how she pulls that society stuff around Gray Rock. Looking down her silly nose at hard-working, honest folks.
Forget it, Mom. After a few weeks with Uncle Jed, I'll get used to not seeing Jane, and then I'll come back.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had camped for the night. At the first streak of dawn, they set out and rode back up the valley until they came fairly close to the place where Chief Eagle Feather had his village. Leading their horses in a clump of trees nearby, the masked man and Indian went on foot to a bluff that overlooked the Comanche village in a hollow below.
You can see the village from up here, Tonto.
Ah. Chief Eagle Feather, there in circle, whole powwow. Look, Eagle Feather, stand up. Give sign to listen.
He's going to speak to the braves. Try to hear what he says, Tonto.
Ah, me listen close. They burn, kill. I white man from valley.
They'll dance for about an hour, Tonto. That time, we have to warn all we can, including the people of Gray Rock. We can go to the stockade at Fort Stockton. Let's get to the horses quickly.
Maybe people of Gray Rock not want to leave town.
They don't. They'll be massacred and the town burned.
Slippery Columbus Scout, easy, fella. Get him up, Scout.
Meantime, Jerry Jenkins had left his mother's ranch at dawn and rode up the valley trail.
Come on, get it.
After riding for some time, he rounded a bend and was startled to see a masked man and an Indian galloping toward him. He reached for his gun, but the masked man drew first and sent a warning shot over his head.
Ho, 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 ho. All right, mister, I can see you're outlaws.
No, we're not outlaws. I fired a warning shot to keep you from making a mistake.
But the mask...
No time to discuss that now. The Comanches are going on the warpath. We've got to give warning.
All right. I'm ready to help, mister.
Let's go, then. When we get to Gray Rock, Tonto can head north by the other trail and try to find Colonel Blair and the regiment. All right, let's go.
Further down the trail, the Lone Ranger called a halt.
All right, we'll separate here. And each will warn as many settlers as he can. The first one to reach Gray Rock, go directly to the sheriff. Impress upon him the need for haste. Get everyone to head for the fort.
All right, mister.
I'll meet both of you at the edge of town. Adios.
Adios.
Get up, boy.
One ranch after another was visited by each of the three men as they brought the dreaded message that caused panic and consternation among the early settlers in the far west.
Get the fort. Indians coming. Not have much time. Get to fort. Get up, scout.
Ho, 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 boy. The Indians are coming on the warpath. Get to the
hurry.
Come on, get up for it.
I came as a friend to warn you. The Comanches are on the warpath. Get to the fort and hurry. Montpelier!
Tonto was the first to reach town. Quickly, the word was spread around the town, and a general exodus started toward Fort Stockton. But Abigail Appleton refused to be concerned when her brother Jonathan came to the house to get her to leave.
Abigail, why aren't you ready to leave?
Nonsense, Jonathan. All this talk about Indians is ridiculous. We've been here 3 years and there's been no trouble.
Maybe so, but there's plenty of trouble brewing now. I sent word to you half an hour ago to get things you wanted to take to the fort for you and Jane.
Dad, what's all the excitement?
Did you hear I tell you? The Indians are on the warpath. They're headed for Grey Rock.
Oh, how awful.
I sent the funds from the bank by wagon. Now, come on, let's get away from here.
I refuse to leave my home and possessions, Jonathan. These other people in town are easily thrown into panic. I expect that of the lower classes, but you and Jane certainly don't have
to. Get going or it'll be too late.
A masked man!
He brought the news. I have a buckboard outside.
I have the idea. I will take orders from
him. You're running the other side of town. Get out to the buckboard, quick.
Oh, tired Abigail's fainting.
You and your father get going. I'll bring your aunt. Hurry, we'll have to make a run for it. Even now, we may be too late.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
Cowboy Tom is a boy of 6. He knows all kinds of cowboy tricks. He can rope a steer because he knows he's got go power from Cheerios. Yes, he's got go power.
There he goes.
He's feeling his Cheerios. Cheerios. Cheerios.
You bet Cheerios, the oat cereal that needs no cooking. Every delicious spoonful of Cheerios and milk is real muscle-building food. Each spoonful contains vitamins, minerals, and proteins your body needs. Yes, the good things in a Cheerios breakfast do good things for your body. Help you have healthy nerves, good red blood, strong bones and muscles. And besides giving you go power, Cheerios is downright wonderful tasting. That toasted oat flavor is really something. And when you add milk and your favorite fruit, say some sliced bananas, you're in for a delicious breakfast treat. Get the whole family off to a good start every morning with Cheerios. Then you'll hear people say,
he's feeling his
Now to continue. The people of Grey Rock were hurrying from town upon receiving news that the Comanches were on the warpath. Jonathan Appleton was one of the last to leave, and rushing to his home, he found Abigail unwilling to go. Also, he found that she hadn't warned Jane of the impending doom. The Lone Ranger rushed in and ordered them to hurry. At that moment, the vanguard of the Indian tribe was heard, and Abigail fainted. Telling Jonathan and Jane to hurry out to the waiting buckboard, the Lone Ranger lifted Abigail in his arms and carried her outside.
I'll put her in the back.
I'll sit beside her.
All right, Mr. Appleton. Get going.
Hurry. Indians coming.
Ho, 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 ho. Jane, are you all
right? He's all right, Jerry. Be right behind them and cover them. Get going.
Get up there. Get up.
Easy, steady, be caught. All right, let's go.
The buckboard raced along at top speed with a Lone Ranger, Tonto, and Jerry riding behind. It was about an hour's ride to Fort Stockton, and finally they arrived without mishap to find the stockade crowded with townsmen and settlers. As the buckboard came to a halt, the big gates closed behind it.
Is this the masked man you told me about?
Yes, that's him, all right. Because of him, almost everybody in town got to the fort.
This is just the beginning, Lieutenant. Those Comanches know the fort is understaffed. They'll head this way after they finish in town.
If they do, we won't have much chance, I'm afraid.
Don't let them get me. Don't hit me.
I'll help Jane get her aunt into one of the cabins.
Maybe we go now. Use other trail north. Try to find Colonel Blair.
All right, Tonto, go ahead. I'll stay here and do what I can to help protect the fort.
Me go quick.
Open the gates. Let that Indian through.
Do you think he'll make it, mister?
He will if anyone can. All right, let's get the people organized. It won't be long before the Comanches will be coming this way.
The Lone Ranger worked with the lieutenant and the sheriff to organize the settlers so that they might help the small garrison of troopers to hold off the Comanche attack if and when it should come. Men were given guns and placed on the parapets, and the women were close by to reload as fast as the guns were fired. But there were two women who didn't take the positions expected of them. One was Abigail Appleton, who was cowering in one of the cabins. The other was Maud Jenkins, who stood at one of the openings beside her son Jerry, with a rifle in her hand, ready and waiting.
Here they come, let them have it!
Jerry! Jerry, here's another rifle. I'll help you and your mother.
Thanks, Jerry.
Good girl, give me that.
The first attack by the Comanches was a ferocious one. The masked figure of the Lone Ranger was seemingly everywhere at once, encouraging the men, watching for flaming arrows and directing in first aid.
Warn on the other side. Hurry. Keep shooting. Put out that fire. Warm the bucket brigade. Get that fire out.
For an hour, the battle waxed hot and heavy. Then gradually, the Comanches withdrew to a ridge beyond the fort, and the defenders of the stockade had a breathing spell.
Well, looks like we drove them off, mister.
No, they'll be back stronger than ever in a little while, Sheriff. I've been through this many times before.
Another attack might mean our finish. We can't hold out against that many redskins.
That's right, I'm afraid. I was left with only a few soldiers at the fort, and a good many settlers have been wounded already.
Let's make a quick check right now, Lieutenant.
All right.
The lieutenant and the masked man found Maud and her son, Jerry, kneeling beside the prone figure of Jonathan Appleton.
Is he badly wounded?
I'm afraid so, mister. It's Jonathan Appleton, the town banker.
Oh, where's the girl, Jane?
She went to get her Aunt Abby. But I reckon Abby's too weak to come out of the cabin she's been staying in. She's been scared stiff.
They come now, Mom.
Jonathan! Oh, Jonathan, are you all right?
I'm done for, Abigail. You'll have to take over the bank funds and get the bank running again.
Yes, I'll do it, Jonathan. Jane and I together.
Ranger.
He's gone.
Oh. Yes.
The eyes of the small group went from Jonathan to Jane and Abigail. They expected Jane to take her father's death bravely, but they were sure Abigail would faint or go into hysterics. The Lone Ranger took a step toward Abigail, but she held out her hand to keep him back. Then she spoke.
No, thank you, mister. I won't need assistance.
The group didn't realize that a gradual change had come over Abigail from the moment that the raid had started. The group looked in amazement for a quiet moment. Then Abigail looked up, a grim smile on her face, as Maud spoke.
Abigail, I'm sorry.
Maud, Jonathan took a gun and fought just like the others. I'm taking his gun, and I'm going to stand up there beside you, Maud. We'll show those savages the people of Gray Rock stand together.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
Hold ahead, Abigail, you might...
They still like to call me Abby Jane, so you do the same. And they have no time for tears. Neither has an Appleton.
Lieutenant!
What's the trouble?
We can see them from the watchtower. The regiment is returning.
Oh, thank heaven.
Go on, Lieutenant.
Yes.
The colonel has no way of knowing the Comanches are waiting behind that ridge. The troopers will ride into an ambush.
Great day.
We've got to warn them somehow.
Yes, and there's only one way. I'll get my horse.
You mean you're going to ride out there?
Why, it'll be suicide.
I'll have to take that chance. Come on, Lieutenant. Get the men ready to open the front gates for me.
Come on, men. Open our gates.
A short time later, the Lone Ranger was ready to leave. The crowd watched breathlessly as the big gates were slowly swung open.
Good luck, mister. Hope you make it.
Come on, Pillar.
The Comanches see him. They're shooting at him.
He's riding like wildfire.
He's got to make it. He's just got it.
They haven't hit him yet, Mom. He'll make it.
The Comanches didn't get him, so they're going to attack before he reaches the regiment. Get your rifles, everybody.
Once more, the defenders of the fort saw waves of frenzied redskins coming over the ridge and toward the stockade. Maud glanced at Abigail beside her and was surprised to see how she handled a rifle.
Why, Abby, you sure handle that rifle as if you knew how.
My father made me learn how to handle a rifle, Maud, but then I didn't consider it ladylike.
Did you see that? Took a feather right off that savage's head.
At last, you're becoming a Westerner, Abby. Thunder, the regiment got into the fight. There they come. Well, look at them redskins go.
Wonderful. And there's that masked man. He's right in the thick of it.
Yes, this is it, Abby. The siege is about over now.
With the arrival of the regiment, the Comanches were beaten and dispersed. The settlers welcomed the troopers with open arms as they rolled through the big gates. Maud, Abby, Jane, and Jerry stood in a group by themselves watching.
I see Tonto and the masked man out there. If it hadn't been for them,
we'd all been massacred before we could have reached the fort.
Yeah, and the fort would have fallen to the Comanches if the masked hombre hadn't gone to warn the regiment about the ambush.
Because of all that's happened, I've found out what a fool I've been, Maud. We all have to stick together as equals out here if we hope to survive.
Well, Aunt Abigail.
Not Abigail. Call me Aunt Abby. I like it.
Well, Aunt Abby, does this mean you won't object to Jerry and me?
Jane, there's no reason why you shouldn't marry the son of one of my good friends. That is, if Maud approves.
Why, man alive, Abby. You know, I always did say you never could tell a cake by its frosting.
Oh, gosh, Jane, I guess we all owe a lot to my masked friend and the Indian.
Oh, look, there they go riding away. Oh, they didn't come inside the fort.
Say, who in thunder is that tall, good-looking hombre with the mask on anyway, Jerry?
I thought you knew, Mom. He's the Lone Ranger.
Copyrighted feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated is produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Foy. Listen to The Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.